96.9 WBZH and 101.1 WHSM, Hayward's home for real news and great conversation. Here's your daily news roundup.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm Maddie Schaefer. At the end of the year, we are highlighting some of our best stories from our reporters across the state. Melissa Kay explores how climate change could impact Wisconsin's cranberry crop.
This year, cranberry growers in the state are projected to produce 5.3 million barrels, which is less than the 2024 harvest of 6 million barrels. Grant Hawley is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association.
Our researchers, seeing the handwriting on the wall and seeing how temperatures, the climate, not the weather, the climate is ticking its way up, they started to move those research pieces over to heat tolerances.
With the shortened season, growers are looking at an average year of production. This year was likely on the border of what the fruit can tolerate in terms of heat and humidity for prolonged periods. Holly said if this is the average climate we can expect going forward, cranberry growers will probably be okay.
If that degree keeps ticking a little bit higher and we keep getting warmer and more humidity, then we need to start to worry.
And what Holly said would cause the worry are bugs and pests cranberry crops haven't had to worry about before.
Are the cranberries going to be fine? They are. They grew up here. They're made for Wisconsin. They're not going to go extinct.
But Holly said these changes to the cranberry climate could cause a drop-off in plant production. Researchers are working to mitigate that as much as possible. But even with these challenges, Holly said Wisconsin isn't likely to lose the cranberry crown anytime soon.
We are producing about 67% of the nation's cranberries, a little over half of the world's cranberries. Are things going to get a little bit leaner? Yeah, they are. But we're not going to lose that title. Wisconsin's still going to be the home of the cranberry.
Small farmers in Wisconsin will tell you concentrated power in agriculture is making it harder for the little guy to stay in business. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
A new report shows when the USDA buys food for its nutrition programs, a small handful of companies get almost half of all that business. In fiscal year 2024, Friends of the Earth researchers say the federal government spent $4.8 billion on food for programs that support school and senior meals, food banks, and tribal communities. Nearly half of that spending went to just 25 companies. While a couple of those companies source from Wisconsin farmers, only two are actually based here. Didion Milling in Columbia County, 17th on the list, and Lakeside Foods in Manitowoc, which comes in 25th. Chloe Waterman with Friends of the Earth says the government may be saving money with these contracts, but they're leaving out many smaller farms that emphasize sustainable practices.
Some of these foods may have a low sticker price, but a high cost to communities and to public health.
Waterman says under both Republican and Democratic leadership, the USDA has touted efforts to level the playing field for small farmers. But she says seeing what the agency actually buys tells a different story.
We can start by ensuring that our own food procurement is focused on meat that does not use routine antibiotics in the raising of those animals. The USDA does not do that right now. And I think that that's a lost opportunity to fulfill some of those promises.
In August, the USDA announced it was planning to buy up to $230 million in fresh seafood, fruits, and veggies from American farmers that would be distributed to food banks and nutrition programs. It mentioned supporting smaller-scale family farmers, but the initiative did not cover meat and poultry, which data shows makes up a huge portion of their routine food program buys.
For years, Wisconsin school administrators have said the state funding formula isn't fair. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Statewide, teachers say they're doing the best they can with what they have at a time when kids need more support and everything is more expensive. Rural districts face distinct challenges. The state recently announced significant funding cuts for more than 300 school districts across the state, many of which are rural. Those cuts stem from the state budget passed by the legislature. Jeff Idy with the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance says more cuts only exacerbate ongoing staffing issues, federal funding uncertainty, and dwindling resources, and that can lead to hard choices.
We make decisions that have the best impact for kids and least impact on our school district in the end. But that becomes just incredibly challenging when we haven't received as much of the funding.
ID says Wisconsin's established revenue limits further compound matters by creating inequities between districts. Schools that try to be more frugal end up capped at lower rates and they get less funding. ID says funding from the legislature hasn't met the rate of inflation for more than 15 years, and all of us have experienced inflation hitting just about everything, including schools, maintenance, utilities, and supplies. ID says with the right resources, rural districts could be unstoppable.
We do a great job of connecting to the students, the community. Once we have students and or staff come in and be a part of our rural school districts, they just love it. They love being a part of that. They feel connected. They feel like it's a great thing. Rural school districts are the heartbeat of their community and are incredibly important to the economy.
About 40% of Wisconsin students are in rural school districts.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm Maddie Schaefer.
A reset for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in meetings today, reviewing what went wrong in their 41-24 loss to the Ravens at Lambeau Field. I talked to Packers running back Josh Jacobs.
I think we all got to look in the mirror. I mean, from the top down, coaches included, I think we got to look in the mirror and, you know, have a reality check on, you know, what we need to do to either give more or, you know, or to do more for this team. And the things that we need to fix and go ahead and correct them.
The Packers and Vikings game has been moved to a noon start this Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. NBA, the Bucks in Charlotte tonight to take on the Hornets. Milwaukee with a 112-103 win over the Bulls Saturday. It was Giannis's first game back from a calf injury, playing limited minutes.
We wanted to save minutes in the first half so we can have him three rotations in the second half. I mean, he obviously hated that. I think the second time we took him out, I thought he was going to go nuts. But it is what it is.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Windy with a little light snow and blowing snow, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy today with a high right around 15 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to around zero for an overnight low. Tomorrow, some light snow, mostly cloudy, with a high in the low to mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
That's your Hayward News Roundup from WBZH and WHSM. Find more news anytime at wbzh.fm/news. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts.